This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This episode is brought to you by Ocean Thinkers, a social enterprise on a mission to inspire the next generation to learn more about our ocean and make an impact. Through events, apparel, and the membership-based Ocean Thinkers Club, this mum-led initiative is all about helping children tackle ocean conservation head-on. You can shop their beautiful limited edition apparel range and join the Ocean Thinkers Club now at oceanthinkers.com.au.
Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
And I am Loz. I'm kicking things off with a good news story. Well, a couple actually. And you'll see why these are so relevant in just a moment when Lou goes through our segments for today. A 2025 CFP board study found that 69% of women identify as their household's primary investment decision makers. Are you in this bucket?
Absolutely not. I am not in this bucket. And why is that good news?
Okay. It's great news. I don't want to carry that load. I think it's great. And Fidelity's 2024 and Fidelity's 2024 Women and Investing Study shows that 71% of women now own investments in the stock market, an 18% increase from the previous year. Not bad. These trends underscore women's growing confidence and authority in managing household finances and investments. I'm so surprised you said you are not. I am definitely the key financial decision maker in our household. Absolutely.
I like the second stat. The first one is a bit mental load vibes for me.
No, I think it's great. Like, I think it's great that women are really in control of their household's finances.
I do actually. I see it as a benefit. I totally get what you mean in that regard. I wouldn't say I'm not, but I wouldn't say I am. We're a bit co-managers like that, and we're just not very good. We really need to get better at being very clear on budgeting and all of that stuff, because it's not a strength of ours, and it's not because we just have money everywhere. That's definitely not the case.
Like, I got so much cash, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, we just got a lot of cash. We don't have to think about these things. No, that's not it, I wish. But I think about that. I do get why it's a good news. I get what you're saying. Part of me is like, God, managing the finances on top of everything else is a lot, but financial literacy in women is incredibly important. So I'm with you on the ride.
Yeah, I like it. A follow-up from last episode, couple of things. One funny that I have to share because I actually think this is so hilarious and I didn't think it was that hilarious until after the fact. So at my office, there's a number of lifts, right, and a number of levels. So the other day I got into the lift and it was me and one other person, and it was around that time when everyone goes home. So it was like 10 past five or something like that, like peak hour. I got into the lift and it stank. Like the smell of a pop. We don't say the F word in our household, which is fart.
You're so funny like that because
we say pop.
His family says fluff. And I think you all need to grow up because you sound 5 years old.
It's just absolutely a hot no in my household. No one says the word fart. It's like a bad word. Anyway, I got into the lift and there was another gentleman in there and I kind of looked at him like it stinks in here.
Not eye contact. Not eye contact.
Oh, yeah, I contacted him for sure. I was like, come on, mate. It's obviously from you.
Grow up.
And I didn't say anything, but I thought that's sick. That is disgusting. Then what I didn't realize, though, is that so the next level, he got out and then it was me by myself in the lift.
Oh, no.
Stopping, I'm not joking you, at almost every level on the way down, and it was so uncomfortable that I nearly wanted to say to like the four people that got in, that scent is not
it's
mine.
It's not from me.
Like,
that is
it
not
was,
exit my asshole.
It was so cooked. I didn't
you
say anything.
You should have just pointed to your tummy, just be like, oh,
they must have been thinking what I was thinking about the guy, about me.
Yes.
I was like, that's
so maybe it wasn't
me.
The poor guy. And anyway. Was you being heavily pregnant, they would have been like, it's definitely her. She has no
for sure. 100%. I was like, that is pushing so on disgusting.
Oh, no,
so disgusting.
I feel for you. I feel for you. So did you just keep your head down? What did you do?
Oh, I just like awkwardly smiled, which was even worse.
That is, and you never do eye contact when you fart.
Yeah, I know. Never ever. My eye contact. It was horrific. And then just got out. And after that, I was like, oh my God, they would have thought that scent was coming from me. Oh. Anyway, there's a little funny for you.
I feel for you.
My other little update was, and I will share more about this on my Insta. Now that we've both got our own personal accounts, I feel like I should be doing more.
Very influential in the Instagram space.
That's so good. So I had a kid-free weekend, as you know, last weekend for my husband's 40th. So his friends organized a weekend away without children, which was great. I just want to say to all those people that are like, oh, heaven, amazing. Don't forget the amount of logistics that goes into that. There is so much effort in making that happen. And I really want it to be acknowledged. Well, it was a real minefield, to be honest. So my brother and his partner, David, had the kids on the Friday. Then on the Saturday, we had a babysitter for half the morning. And then my dad took over on the Saturday afternoon with his partner. Like the whole thing was just, it didn't flow. It wasn't like, absolutely. And then my dad was running late to like everything.
And Jazzy and David had their birthday drink. So it's not like.
Yeah, they did. You know, they had something. This is what I mean. So for all those people thinking, oh, how nice, like, oh, how good, she just goes on a weekend away. Yeah, I do. But at the same point, like, it takes a lot of effort to get to that point for it to feel effortless, which it definitely wasn't.
You calling out that reminds me of one of those things, you know, when something looks a little bit better than it is, but you feel silly complaining about it because it's a silly thing to complain about in the grand scheme of things. That's a perfect example of those things that are a little bit hard and we should be able to say it, but you never do because you're like, oh, well, it looks ridiculous to complain about logistics to be away from my kids for a weekend. But it goes to show that the shiny veneer of everything, it's just a little bit more shinier than what's happening behind the surface, which is Loz farting while she's away with poor Ryan.
I did not do that. I absolutely did not do that.
I'm spreading vicious rumors. This isn't true. Anyway, this isn't true.
Back to your updates. Those are mine. Tell me yours.
Okay. I was going to do a daycare update with Posey this week, but I've decided to save it for next episode so I have a little bit more to talk about because basically her days for daycare were starting this week while I had a really soft landing work week. Then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, she was too sick Monday, Tuesday, so it was Ray. She's only just gone on Thursday at the time of recording. I'm going to wait till there's a little bit more up my sleeve and report back, but how classic week one is that Posey got too sick before even going to daycare to go to daycare.
Always. Always.
Always the case. My next one for you, Lozzie, is a comment on the segment we had about the magic of being the primary caregiver and seeing things through kids' eyes, which is how you described loving being a mum or one of your favourite experiences attached to it. Someone said, just on the comment about seeing things through kids' eyes, I had a massive laugh the other day when my daughter saw a lemon tree and then asked when we'd see a toilet paper roll tree. I was confused for a sec, but then remembered I told her that toilet paper comes from trees, so we don't want to waste it. And she had imagined literal toilet paper rolls growing on trees like lemons. If that's not fucking cute, I don't know what is.
What a sweet, sweet kid. It's that shit that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, and you just laugh and you think you're a bloody legend, not when you're up in the middle of the night, which we will get to, my friend. But before that, shout out to Hades. The other day he goes, I ordered Ray's birthday present. Ray's birthday is Thursday the 17th of April, so in a few days. And I'd been thinking, we've got the busiest weekend. You and I have an engagement party together for my little brother-in-law, your little cousin. Why am I calling him little? He's definitely not far off 30. Let's treat him like an adult. And I've been thinking to myself, you and I have a meeting on the Friday. We have work to do on Saturday. We've got this engagement party Saturday, arvo. Kids logistics, as you were just talking about, we're staying in Melbourne at the Greens on Friday night, then my parents Saturday night, blah, 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 blah. I thought to myself, when the fuck am I getting this present? And then, yeah, he just looks over at me the other night. He goes, oh, yeah, I got him a scooter, a Spider-Man themed scooter online. So that's all sorted. And I actually got him another present too. And I went, you're a fucking legend. I'll organise the cake. You've got that sorted. Thank you, Hayden Green. Next up, fried rice two ways. You laughed when I put this in our witching hour chat. And you just put a laugh emoji and that made me laugh.
Yeah, I was like, what is that?
Just a little... As you know, Lozzie, I love me a one meal two ways. So you make one sort of basic meal, it gets you to the next night's dinner too. I did fried rice with satay skewers one night, and then the next night I got these delicious prawn and ginger dumplings from the freezer section of like a gourmet supermarché thing. And there I had two dinners. I had broccolini the first or the second night, two different fried rice meals, delicious. And lastly, I'd like to put a formal complaint. It's not about my menstruation cycle this time or my menstrual cycle. This time it's about daylight savings. I remember, Lozzie, last year for Ask Ready or Not, which would have been called Tips and Tricks at the time, I think you did daylight savings episode. And I thought, look, this is obviously useful for someone, but it does feel dramatic to me. What's the big idea? Ray was an angel with daylight savings. Posey, on the other hand, has been waking up in the fours every single day, waking a lot overnight, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
So that's been my take. What's been happening in your household with the whole clocks turning?
Well, Sienna is in our bed every second night. So, I mean, it makes no difference as to what time she's waking because when she's in, I can't sleep. And Zave, oh, God, the weirdest thing happened this morning, actually. I woke up because I was wanting to come to work really early. So I had a shower at like 6:05. And I thought, oh, Sienna sleeps with the night light on. They're in the same room. It's like the blazing sun in there. But Zave likes the darkness. So I thought I'll just creep into Zave's room and Sienna's room and turn the night light off. And he was just sitting upright like a statue looking at me.
Creepy.
I was like,
creepy. And did he seem like asleep but with his eyes open?
No, he was fully awake, just waiting for someone to come in. He was like, mama,
but
mama.
Just quietly.
Yeah, but he's been getting up like fucking crack of dawn at like 6 just on that. Every morning.
Mm. Oh, yeah, but 6 worst. Is all right. 4:30, I mean, not to do a not
6
to do a,
is I'm all not right. Are you high?
That's really, well, that's what it's time horrible. Posey wakes up every day, just about.
Oh, fucking awful.
I want sleep in, kids, but Zave did put you through the ringer and you are heavily pregnant, so I'm happy for you, although you're not happy with that, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm unhappy.
I'm being very confused right now. I do have something I want to add, which is that Zave doing that reminds me of two stories from friends recently of kids, like toddlers, saying really scary shit, like they're having nightmares and then being like, I don't want the man in my room. And I'm just not equipped to handle that. If Ray ever comes into me and says there's a man in his room, I'm not okay with that. Have you had a situation like
that? I had to do this. Yeah. Sienna was saying there was a lady at the end of the bed and I went to the crystal shop the next day and I bought like 50 sage sticks and I saged my entire house. I'm not joking.
Of course you
I like
did.
Googled you ways
to
sage it.
You are the most random woo-woo person
I
ever.
I put a
like
cross
Western
in every corner.
Woo-woo girl.
I was like, spirits, be gone. Like,
forgive
Get
me,
out.
Father, for I have sinned.
Oh, I am really into that. Christ I'm really you. Into it. I'm like, get out of my house.
I want someone to DM me with what movie The Power of Christ Compels You is from, because as we know, my friend Laurie over know. Here has no fucking idea. What are we talking about today, my friend? It's so good to talk to you. Money talk, why women need to own their financial confidence. And are we overdoing the whole personal boundary thing? Take it away, my friend.
Money talk, why women need to own their financial confidence. Okay, let's talk money, my favorite topic.
Money.
Specifically, why women talking about money still seems to ruffle feathers, especially it seems for men in comment sections. So I would like to use myself as a little example of this. Recently, I, Loz, featured in a reel.
Thank you for confirming.
Composite. On Composite, it's a finance company, about my own financial journey, how we're saving, thinking about investments, making things work as a family. I want to start off by saying I'm heavily pregnant. I was in Sydney for work. This young guy and another lady approached me as I was sitting down, scrolling on my phone, genuinely responding to work emails. And he said, hey, do you have time for a quick Vox Pop? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is something you and I have always wanted to do.
Yes, about your finances. And to be honest, I looked at him and I thought, this poor sod, like he has obviously tried to accost about 55 women, all of who have said no. And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. I had no idea what he was going to ask me. Absolutely none. He said, do you consent to your video being shared? I said, yeah, go for it. Like, to be honest, I don't give a shit. I got kids, mate. I got
Had you heard of Composite just quickly?
Never.
Did we know much about it? Okay.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You're just a nice girl.
And off the back of that, after I had the conversation, I thought nothing of it until maybe a week later when two people from my work who are quintessential Gen Z pinged me and said, Loz, you're TikTok famous. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, you thought it was for Ready or Not probably.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a podcast, whatever. No, I was genuinely
I already knew that, guys. I am very famous.
I was somewhat taken aback because I'm like, neither of these people have kids. I'd have no idea. So they sent me a reel. Over the coming days, I proceeded to get, I'm not even joking, I'd have to say more than 50 people reached out being like, is this you? I was like, oh, my God, what is going on?
I can't believe you didn't link me then and there.
And wow, the comments. I would call it a mix of interesting perspectives. I also want to add to this, and I am going to post a little reel and my thoughts on this after this obviously airs because I'm bamboozled, if I'm honest. I also want to say Coposit has a heap of content. Right? Their number two performers on their page are both about men in their 20s and men in their 30s talking about their savings. Little old Loz over here comes in at number three, most viewed.
Wow.
Number three. So here we go. I want to talk about this. So here we go. I'm going to break it down for you before I get really into these comments. I want to talk about the double standard in financial conversations. Why is it that these men are praised, glorified, congratulations to you, humble brag over here, whatever it might be, regardless of whether they've got $1,000, $2,000, $1 million in savings. Kudos to them for sharing their financial thing. But women, girlfriend, no, don't you say anything. Firstly, I want to say also, I would never disclose my financial situation to a stranger.
As soon as I saw the video, I thought, she's not telling you the full story there, my friend. I knew that about you. I wouldn't either. If I told them my savings, they'd be like, you're going to not be able to live soon. So figure that one out.
In fact, when he asked me the specific question, how much money do you have in your bank account? I actually thought to myself for a minute, fuck, what do I say? Like, do I say a really low figure so that I feel more appealing, or do I say a really high figure to kind of like boast, or do I just make up a bloody figure, like anything that kind of seems reasonable? So I went with the number of 16,000. Do I have that? None of your business, firstly. No. But regardless, what I have is nobody's business but my own.
Also, but savings is a very small part of the picture too, just to preempt what you're going to share with us, read these comments.
But even if I had $1 million in savings, why is it that when women talk about money, we get questioned, scrutinized, or even belittled? If a man talks about their savings or investing, it is considered smart, responsible, noble. When a woman does it, suddenly it would be bragging. Imagine if the narrative, if I had said, oh, I've got over $1 million worth of savings. Could you imagine the comments? Like, these are the comments I'm getting.
They had a rich husband.
Well, let's move straight into this. And I wanted to back this up. I was so enraged about it. Studies show that women are just as financially responsible, if not more so, when it comes to managing household budgets. Yet they are less likely to feel confident about investments or negotiating their salaries, probably because the people that they're negotiating with it, lo and behold, are men. I'd also like to say here that when we talk about your financial situation, savings, in my opinion, means squat. It means sweet F-A.
It's one part of a
You could own a home. You could own a home. You could own multiple houses. You could have investment properties. You could have share portfolios. You could have a super yacht in France.
Which we do, by the way. It's in the med as we speak.
It's hiding. It's hiding. I don't know what you have, but a bank amount, a bank account figure personally does not make you successful and it does not make you wealthy. Next, I want to get into the hot topic of why women working is essential. It's not just a choice. I've had comments that suggest that women shouldn't have to work or that financial security should be a family decision. But here's the reality. When women work, it benefits everybody, families, businesses, the economy, et cetera. Research from the UN shows that increasing female workforce participation boosts GDP. And on a personal level, for me and many others, financial independence is security. It's options. It's the ability to leave a bad situation if you require. The stats back it up. I mean, after divorce, women's income drops by almost 50% in comparison to men's.
Wow.
So no, working isn't just
Haven't seen that stat to today.
Haven't you?
Because we've talked about the homelessness one for women over 50 a lot, but that's staggering.
It is staggering. So no, working isn't just a nice to have, it's critical. And I also want to say, I have multiple friends, many of whom do not work. They choose not to for one reason or another. I see your opinions and views. I respect those. For me, it's just not a reality. But I do want to say that for a number of reasons, whether it's mentally, financially, I mean, I've had a lot of people say to me, it's almost more cost effective for them to not work for childcare reasons. But I'm like, longer term, is it not? Who knows? I mean, we kind of do know, but whatever. Fine. I'm not saying that. I'm not doing this big debate of like work versus non-work. For me, I need to work. The amount of comments I received around, I hope she has a rich husband, was horrific. All from men.
We do need background here. So is this because of what you said your financial goals were in this little TikTok?
No. This was because of savings. Sorry, most frequent comments. $16,000 savings is abysmal. She's 38. I said I was 38. I'm actually 37. That's how wide my brain is.
I was like, I swear she's 37. I was like, that means Tatum's 38. Have I lost a year?
I don't know how old I am.
It was like when the clocks turned back, you became a year older.
Yeah, there were so many comments. I'm not even joking. I almost want to say 100% from men that were like, $16,000 in savings, that's pathetic. Wouldn't be listening to her for financial advice. Rara. Firstly, huns, I ain't given financial advice. And if I was, it wouldn't be about your savings amount. Probably be about how you invest it. Secondly, I don't see any problem if I had $16,000 in savings. See no problem with that.
I don't see any problem with that. I think that's quite heroic.
None. Yep, exactly right. Also, the whole, I hope she marries a rich man. I hope she's got, someone said she's either sitting on inheritance or I hope she marries a rich man. Sadly, no inheritance is coming my way. Mostly I'll have debt. Secondly, marrying a rich man, yawn. Yeah. Why is this boring. Still a thing? We're in 2025. Yeah. Boring.
Move on to the next, you dickheads.
Exactly right. The reason why I said the stats at the start of this show is because around 75% of women will be the primary financial decision makers in their households at some point in their lives. The power, my male loser commenters, lies with us. So you just back down and relax for a moment. So this idea that women should just sit back and wait for a man to provide, it's outdated, it's patronizing, and quite honestly, it's not even the reality for most women today.
And do you also know what's scary? It's actually still out there. Like the social commentary, you know, sometimes I've said this so many times on the show where you feel like you're banging your head against the wall, but then if you try to articulate it, you feel like, oh, things are progressing and maybe I'm just going mad. The comment section of these posts are a great example that there are so many people out there with these outdated stereotypes running rampant.
Yes, and all these like ABC12468 Instagram user. No, I don't need a rich husband. I need financial literacy.
I am a rich
financial
husband.
Confidence and financial independence. By the sounds of it, so do you. Next, instead of letting these comments make us feel like we shouldn't be talking about our finances, I would love for women to double down. I would love it if we could normalize discussing money as women, discussing investments, your salaries, just like men do. If you are listening right now and you feel uncomfortable talking about your salary, negotiating for more, even just saying, I want to be wealthy, I get it, but that discomfort, that is exactly what needs to change. So here is my challenge to everyone listening because I'm so fired up about it.
I'm so obsessed with you right now, how angry you are. It's so good.
I found it laughable because I was like, God, are these
guys
for
real? Did you respond to any comments? Of course you didn't. You're not that petty.
Nah, but I will. I shall after this
ends. Yes.
My challenge to people listening this week, most likely you are female or you identify as female, is talk about money with another woman this week. So whether it's negotiating a pay rise, whether it is sharing your investment tips, because stats show that women are better investors than men, that is correct, or even just being open about your financial goals. Because the more we talk about it, the more we learn from each other and the more confident we become. And if you are a man listening, support the women in your life having these conversations. That is how we change the narrative.
I have nothing further to add, Your Honour.
I can't wait to show you this reel, by the way. I cannot wait.
From my quick research, it looks like the idea of boundary setting really started to enter the zeitgeist in the early 90s with best-selling titles like Boundaries, Where You End and I Begin, and Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life, sparking a wider discussion about this idea of setting your boundaries, hold and firm. But I want to posit that in the really recent years, the last few years, boundary setting and the discourse that comes with it has become even more popular. It's a term that comes up a lot in motherhood, so maybe that's why it's something that feels so front of mind for you and I. But I think broadly speaking, most people in our age bracket would agree, kids or not, boundary setting is the talk of the town and closely linked to things like burnout, the village, and self-care. It's something that I've been thinking a lot about this past week, and some weird voodoo shit has gone down where it's just like come into my life, into my brain in a lot of different ways. I'm going to tell you how. On last Wednesday's episode of Ready or Not, I interviewed Sarah Tarker, and we talked about how sometimes this whole boundary setting conversation can sort of set us up to fail when we just need to get work done. For example, she works 7 to 9 p.m. most nights. She doesn't engage in childcare. She has kindergarten and she has primary school for her kids, but she didn't do childcare in the very early years and more just committed to nighttime work. Initially, my reaction was sort of like, geez, where's the self-care? How do you have a moment to yourself? And then I thought, no, she's taking that in other parts of the day. That's something she's chosen to do. And it's her choice to get her laptop out, send emails at 7 to 9 o'clock with no need to get a response. She's not saying to anyone that she's working with, you need to get back to me in my office hours. And she's hoping that they give her the same respect. So that was the first example. And she agreed that sometimes this whole notion of boundary setting just makes us feel like shit when we don't have boundaries, because sometimes the work just needs to get done. The second example came from my personal life. Someone very special to me has a birthday on Monday. There's a birthday party Monday afternoon. You and I are meeting Monday night about an hour away in traffic from this birthday party that's also over an hour away from where I live. All of a sudden, it felt very stressful to navigate the kids, work during that day, get to this birthday party fully ready for what you and I need to do, which has to be very presentable, look flash, look the part, also be sharp, all of those things, and then drive to that birthday party. I knew that people would be disappointed if I didn't go, but for a moment, I had this resentment of like, oh, I should be able to use my boundary setting to say, no, I actually can't go on this occasion, and just go do my work thing and make my life easier. Then I thought to myself, I actually think I'm fixating on boundaries too much, because when I'm on my deathbed, I don't want to miss this little person that I love so dearly's birthday party. I want to know that I'd been there. Then if all of this wasn't enough and boundaries and boundaries and boundaries weren't fucking reverberating around my mind, Laura Byrne came into my grid talking about a Substack piece she found called Enough with the Boundaries Already. I was hooked straight away. I don't want to totally steal this segment idea from Laura and co, but by this point, there was some wacky woo-woo shit going on and I knew I needed to talk about it. Their episode was called Have Our Boundaries Destroyed Our Sense of Community? And I want to play a clip from it now.
I came across a Substack article and I sent it in the group chat because it really hit me, the content of this. It's written by a woman, Florine Tideman. She's a writer who contributes to Pop Sugar, Marie Claire, and it is titled Enough with the Boundaries Already. Losing my stepfather showed me the community we are sacrificing for our so-called boundaries. Very much, I would say that we are the generation that speaks so much about boundary setting and the importance of boundary setting. We're also a generation that has had some of the highest rates of loneliness and disconnection. Mm. I really wanted to read you some of this, but before I do, just to set up what this Substack was about, Florine, she recently lost her stepfather and she helped to support her mum through his battle with brain cancer. And she was there side by side caring throughout his palliative care journey. And what she witnessed was the incredible community that her stepfather and her mum had around them during this time. Neighbours popping over to walk the dog, people dropping off food, people just really showing up in droves. And I guess it made her ask the question as to whether that would be something that she would receive if she was in this position. Mm. Has she built a community and this sense of community around her? And I'm not talking about your best friends. I'm talking about your neighbors. I'm talking about people who were within the same street as this couple who lived there because they had this real sense of localized community as well. This is what she had to say about it. And it is this conversation that has a cross comparison of generations. She wrote, I have amazing friends in my life. Don't get me wrong. I am privileged to call such strong and interesting people my friends, and they were there for me throughout this time. I'm not trying to imply that they are anything less than a solid support system. Rather, I'm trying to share an observation about millennials and especially Gen Z as someone on the cusp of both of these generations. While we have close friendships, besties, and more, we don't quite have that community. We wouldn't drive each other to the airport. We'd expect someone to take public transport or get an Uber. Why give up more time than it would take them? We just don't see the sentimental touch of dropping someone off or picking them up at the airport. We look at the cost of our time. We prioritize practicality over sentimentality. And I guess the big question I had around this is definitely about community, but do you think that we are the generation that is so obsessed with this sense of convenience and boundary setting over a sense of collective community?
Lozzie, initial thoughts first up. I want to know exactly how you felt listening to that convo. And then I want you to give your own lens because you actually do have a bit of a village vibe going on with your neighbors.
Yes. We actually spoke about this, about the do women really want a village? And at the crux of it, the whole thing was around boundary setting. So one thing that I would say is when you set boundaries, they are your boundaries. They are not other people's boundaries. So you can set them, but if people adhere to them or if they don't, that's not for you to decide. If you want to say today I'm not going to engage in going to the park, no problem. And if someone says, hey, do you want to come to the park? And you say no, you can't get pissed off at that person for going. Like there's this whole weird stigma around it. The whole village thing, I am one of those people that has had to relax a lot of my boundaries. And I've said this before, there are boundaries that I'm happy to relax and boundaries that I am not. Safety boundaries, so like car restraints, holding hands while crossing a road, nut allergies or feeding my children food that they may be allergic to. They are strong, hard, no boundaries. If you break it, you're out. But things like an ice cream for breakfast, jelly for lunch, having sprinkles on your Weet-Bix, whatever it might
all
look
like. All in the same
like, day. Yeah, I'm pretty chilled about. Because if you want a village, something's got to give. And traditionally, yes, when you look at neighbours and villages, they were those around you that could help. There weren't all these extra bits and bobs that you put around it to wrap it nicely to fit what you wanted. You looked at it like I'm accepting help. And with help comes a set of other people's boundaries or a set of other people's rules, yeah, that might not necessarily align with yours.
And a set of other people's upbringings. It's an interesting thing that comes up a lot in early motherhood. And of course, we're not saying that people just shouldn't have any boundaries. Like let everyone hold your baby and let everyone visit your newborn. We're not saying any of that stuff. But sometimes I wonder if we go so far the other way that it ends up being a detriment to our relationships. For example, you know when you're tired and you're in a funk and you're in the early days, and yes, maybe some days you should stay home with your baby, but at other times I think we've become so obsessed with self-care and boundaries and saying no that we end up damaging our relationships, damaging our own mental health because we become so within our own four walls of our home that we don't do anything and we don't have these connections to our villages. Have you ever regretted going too far with a boundary because of this concept that we're being told you can say no, like we almost go too far the other way?
So when I had Sienna, I was really strict with sleep routines, really strict. Like I followed the book. I did everything by the book. And so what I would do is when people were like, oh, hey, you want to catch up today? I'd be like, yeah, sure. It has to be between the times of 10 to 12:30. And I got travel and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, can probably only get there at 11. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to work for me. And upon reflection, I reckon I did that maybe for 4 months. And then I realized that it didn't really matter if I wasn't sticking to like a 4-hour wake window or a 3-hour and 1 minute, like 15 minutes. She's not going to die. She's going to be just fine. She's still going to sleep because I was so paranoid to begin with. I thought, oh my God, if I don't stick to these specific wake time windows, like 90 minutes on the dot, this child is never going to sleep. You know what? She did. It was actually fine. And so after that time, I thought to myself, what am I doing? Like, I'm missing out on all this fun with other first time
moms.
It's
like you almost get in the way of this connection and enjoyment because of this boundary setting.
Exactly. And I would see photos of them catching up for coffee. And I was like, I'm fucking sitting here in my apartment, which is tiny. I've just survived an entire season of COVID with a kid that's fucking asleep. Like, what? Why am I torturing myself?
Couldn't agree with that sentiment more. There's an interesting conversation in this episode and in the Substack about airport pickups and drop-offs. And interestingly, my family have always been very much there for each other. And my parents would have done airport drop-offs and pickups when I was a young adult. But definitely as I got a bit older, they probably wouldn't. And I wouldn't expect that of them. It was just fine. But Hayden's family, as you'd probably know, very much will drop everything to do airport pickup and drop off. I don't know where I sit on this because, for example, my mother-in-law is the most incredible giver on this planet to the point that sometimes I just want to like send her away for the weekend and get her to look after herself because she's so good to everyone else. And this is such a common experience that people know about. Whereas my mom, I reckon a little bit later in life, did start to set slight boundaries. And when I say that, like, she's so stretched thin, she does so much caring, she's cooking for everyone, she's doing all sorts of things. But I think she'd get a tiny bit better at setting boundaries around looking after herself. And it leaves me feeling really conflicted. Part of me loves this village mentality of all looking after each other and seeing that familiar face pick you up at the airport and how glorious that is. And part of me wonders, at what point do we stop giving to the detriment of our own energy? Where do you sit on that?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I come back to the whole theory that boundaries are fluid. Yes. Implement boundaries at different times in your life and they're not forever. Like, you might set a boundary and then you might change it.
You raised such a good point because my mum was incredible. Like, if I ever left homework at home or whatever, she was straight to drop it off. She made my lunches. Like, she looked after me so well in that way. So it's like we can give different levels of caregiving at different stages of our lives, which perfectly leads me to my next question for you. When my friends are struggling, I feel really bad because I can't be there for them. And when I say struggling, I mean just everyday struggles of being a new mum or in early motherhood.
Yes.
I often can't be there for them the way I want to because I am also in early motherhood. My kids might be homesick. I've got 3 siblings who all have kids and I'm trying to keep up with their lives. There's a lot going on for all of us, right? This isn't unique to my situation. How do we find a blend of boundary setting and being and entrenching ourselves in a village when we personally are so in the thick of it? Like, use your example. Pregnant with your 3rd child, 2 children, you live in the city, you've got a busy life, you work 4 days a week elsewhere. This podcast probably takes up at least 5 hours a week for you. Where do you draw the line and how do you do both boundary setting and being part of the village?
I boundary set every day and I break boundaries every day. And then I reevaluate every day. Some days I think to myself, like a classic example, the other day I was like, oh, I never work on weekends. Like, I would never respond to an email. I sent an email back on a Saturday to somebody at 12:36 p.m. The fuck was I doing? Why was I on emails at midday on a Saturday? Like, my life is far too exciting to be doing that. And yet here I am breaking my own boundaries and doing it. It's like things like that. Like, you would be the same. Like, what are examples of when you've set yourself a boundary and then only to readjust it or break it a day later?
Well, I guess that birthday party is the perfect example, almost feeling like, oh, there's too much going on and I'm resentful and God, why do I have to be here, there and everywhere? And then I thought, life is about family and celebrating things together. And if you want those paid work pursuits, like what you and I are doing that night, to go ahead, that's great. But when you're on your deathbed, what do you want to remember? And that doesn't mean that you have to do everything and say yes to everything. But I think we almost need to get better at prioritizing exactly what matters. And as you say, be comfortable with the goalposts shifting. Another thing that I've often thought about with this, my in-laws are the most incredible people. They are very respectful with boundaries. But you know, with any family occasion where, and this isn't in-law specific, but I just know that a lot of people have issues with their in-laws. I'm so lucky that's not me. But you know, when there's just like one thing too many on the weekend and you've had this busy week and you really want to cancel, I do have these really mindful moments with things like that where I'm like, this person is the auntie of my children, or they're the grandparent of my children, or they're the cousin of my children. And when I'm old and grey, I want to know that those connections were made, and I need to remember that these people deserve time with the people that they love. I've been thinking about what I used to do for my brother and sister-in-law before I had kids. I used to go to the house at 5:30 a.m. so that they could go to the gym because I was so obsessed with my niece. I would have done anything for her. I also used to do really elaborate birthday gifts. Like, I'd go to a shop and get all these little knickknacks and decorate a box for her and spend too much money on my uni salary and all of these things.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where I was like, you shouldn't have done all of that. But now that I sit here today and I have my own kids and that part of my life is over of like doting over a niece without having children myself, I'm like, why did you regret that? That was such a beautiful time in your life. And at that point, you had more time to give and more love to give to them.
Yeah, exactly right. I also think there's a change in perspective too of when you have multiple children. So with that first child, you have a lot more capacity to set boundaries because you've got a lot more time. With that second child, like I remember with Sienna, I actually vividly remember this conversation. I caught up with a girlfriend that had two kids, and Sienna would have been pretty young. We were like at a park or something, and one of her kids was like really snotty, like that green snot. And I was so annoyed. As in, I didn't say anything at the time, but I was like, what were you thinking? Like,
yes.
Why would you
know
do
those
that?
Moments.
Why would you bring a child that looks like they've got the lurgy when I've got a newborn? Like, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with them. What happens is you have your second child. Likelihood is your first child is in daycare and they're going to have a cough and that runny, lurgy nose most likely for two
plus
years.
Like how Posey got sick from Ray returning to daycare before she walked through the doors.
On and off. Like literally. And as a parent, you're like, you know what? Like kids get sick. This is life.
100%.
I get it. And then
especially
you
as they get older but too. Like, yes.
100%. But I realized like the boundaries that I had set when Sienna was a baby, I couldn't set those same boundaries for my second child, Zave, because I'm breaking the boundaries by sending her to daycare every day because the person that's most likely to get Zave sick is within my own immediate family and it's from my
so
daughter.
True. It's so true. Like, and also boundaries don't, like if we just talk about, you know, you just say no to that and yes to this, it takes away the nuance of like that mum has probably been home 2 days in a row and the kids are just starting to feel better and the walls are closing in and you need to get out and it's all of these things that I guess make us need to reassess what our boundaries are.
Exactly. And her boundary may have been, I know that my kid is slightly unwell. He's not to touch the newborn baby. He has to stay within 5 minutes of the newborn
baby. And we're outdoors for the meetup. That's a boundary.
Exactly
rather than
right.
going to a cafe.
And I'm sure that's exactly what they were. But my boundary is no sick child is to be around my only queen.
Not within a kilometer radius.
You know? And then you have two and you're like, oh, fuck, whatever. Who cares? Yeah, yeah. But it's the
can't
same with work, I want
to
say. It is exactly the same with work. I think so often what happens, particularly with women, is that we are told to set boundaries because naturally women, in my experience, put in the hours, they're more effective, they're more productive, they do way more shit that is not within their PD.
Amen.
And it is very healthy to have a boundary by saying, I'm not responsible for culture in this workplace. Spread it. Do a culture club. Get a couple guys involved. Why am I organizing lunch twice a week to make everyone feel good? Totally fine. But there's also other opportunities where you're like, do you know what? I really like the vibe that I create in the workplace when I do that. And that is also okay. Sometimes you can be like, do you know what, Paul? I'm happy to set a boundary of doing ABC this week and next week. I'm hectic.
It's over
school
to you.
Holidays. Like, I'm just not going to exactly. So I think they can be fluid and they can change. But when you set hard boundaries and you implement it long term, I do think to your point and to Life Uncut's point, Laura Byrne, what an absolute legend. I'm obsessed with her.
She actually replied to my story, Lozzie, when I tagged her, and I thought you would have gone off at that.
Oh, I would have died. I love her. Absolutely love her. Following her house renovations like no tomorrow. Even though I'm not a DIY renovator, as you know.
Oh, I can just picture you putting on the tool belt.
Oh, disgusting. But she's right. When you hold boundaries so tightly and you don't allow for them to be changed, the only person really that doesn't benefit from them, it's going to end up being you.
I think the idea of being fluid with your boundaries is so important and almost a bit light bulby, actually, Lozzie. You're a brilliant, wise, wise woman. I don't know exactly what we were talking about, but you just reminded me of something interesting which ties into what you said about that could be your boundary, but it's not someone else's. We're having a conversation about the workplace recently. Oh, it was that does it really matter episode, or is your job really that important? And someone said, I feel that way about that my job's not that important. But that's just me. I can't decide how important my colleague or manager feels about my job. So that's a really interesting take too. It's like you can't determine what other people perceive as important or a boundary, but you can control your own boundaries. Leads me perfectly into a few community comments out there in the digital streets of readyornot.pod Instagram. First person said, which was a caveat that I wish I put up when I put the story on the Instagram, which was that I've never regretted setting a work boundary to be with my kids. And I couldn't agree more. We should always set those boundaries. One that you and I absolutely loved. Actually, I'll tease that. I'll save that till last. I'll go with the first two. I actually love this one too. I've actually decided to pull back on my boundaries because they were literally stopping me socializing and seeing friends. Again, that's what can happen sometimes when we're too much like, I need rest. Yes, in some phases, we absolutely need them. Sometimes getting out of the house is also exactly what you need. Someone else said this, which really ties in with what I was talking about with the special person in my life's birthday. My closest family member, my stepdad, died when I was 25, but there was never a moment I thought I wished I'd done more. I feel like boundaries are mostly for self-preservation and also for those who take too much. I've never had to set a boundary with those that fill my cup in equal measure. It's only those who sip from my cup that I need to set boundaries for, which is another great take and a good reminder.
Yes.
And to finish the show, we loved this one. In my opinion, boundaries discourse has gone way too far, which also sounds funny because we are adding to boundaries discourse by talking about it.
Yes.
People seem to have misunderstood that boundaries are something that you have to enact, not something you tell someone else about how to behave. I also think the broad loosey-goosey concept of boundaries means people avoid telling others directly what they want, how they need help, et cetera, et cetera. Couldn't agree more. What a great way to end the show.
And on that note, if you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review. Every review counts, and follow us on readyornot.pod. See you next week.